Hello, I'm Dr. Jonathan Barker, pastor here at Amazing Grace Baptist Church in Mount Airy, North Carolina. I would like to personally thank you for taking out time today to tune in to our preaching podcast. We hope that this message will be a great encouragement to your heart today.
Get here. Genesis 3, and I want to give you a little thought right here tonight, and then we'll go home tonight. I know you're tired, and let me just say this. I'm tired too, and I appreciate everybody this weekend for being so faithful. I mean that. You that came to the choir workshop, you was in your place. I appreciate that. Probably next year, if you're going to sing in the choir, that's just going to about be a mandatory thing. Next year, you're just going to be here that Saturday if you're going to sing in the choir. And I appreciate you being here. I appreciate those that helped with the meals, everything that's went on, not just this week. But if you look back over the past 2 or 3 weeks, man, we've had a very, very, very busy 2 or 3 weeks here at the church with VBS, leading up to VBS, coming into the choir workshop. And as your pastor, man, thank you so much. You know what a lot of pastors would have done? I'm not a lot of pastors, so, but you know what a lot of pastors would have done? They said, well, you know what, let's just take Sunday night off and just go home and rest Sunday night. But I don't find that nowhere in the Bible, amen? And we're going to go to church, praise God. And I want to give you a little thought out of here. Genesis 3, I'm sure you're all familiar with it. And I'm going to probably preach a little bit different tonight. I'm probably not going to be as wide open as I normally am on Sunday night. But I want to give you a thought right here, and I want us to think on it tonight. In Genesis chapter number 3, well, if we go back, let me just pray. Father, I love you. I need your help tonight, Father. You know the need of the service. And I pray, God, that you would help me tonight. I pray, God, that you would use me. God, as we look into your word, we'll give you the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. And yes, I about said in Genesis' name, amen. And you can go ahead and laugh about that because I'm sure the Lord just laughed too. In Genesis, you say, do you really think he had a sense of humor? Has some of y'all ever looked in the mirror? In Genesis, we know it's the creation. Some of y'all will get that in a little while. And DC will start laughing on the way home tonight when he looks up in the mirror. But anyway, in Genesis, we know it's the creation of the world here in the book of Genesis. In the beginning, God. It's not the beginning of God. It's not the creation of God because God has always been. And God always will be, amen. He's God. He'll always be. But it is the beginning of the world. God, a lot of times we make this statement that God stepped out on nothing and created everything. I don't know that God ever even got up off his throne. Are you with me? I don't know. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. I don't see him stepping out. I don't see him getting up right there. He formed man out of the dust of the ground. I think there's a possibility he got up then. I do know that he was close with man because he breathed into man the breath of life, into his nostrils the breath of life. And we know that everything else God makes from a distance with the exception of man, and it's hands-on when it comes to man. He breathes into the man, into his nostrils the breath of life. And we have what is known as the beginning of humanity in the book of Genesis. Not just the beginning of everything else, but importantly, it is the beginning of humanity. And in Genesis, I want to give you a couple things, but I want to center in on one thing. In Genesis, we see humanity. And number one, I would say this, we see the forming of humanity. Chapter number 2, look with me. Chapter 2, verse number 7. The Bible says this, and the Lord God formed man out of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. And man became a living soul. And we know that in studying the Word of God, that God created man and he created him in his own image. And God forms man. He gives him a position and he puts him there in the garden. And there in the garden, his position was that of dominance. He was to have dominion over everything. He is to rule rule over everything. He gives man positions, but he also gives him a possession there. He gives him everything that he needs in the garden, everything that he needs to eat, everything that he needs to drink. He gives him a wife there in the garden. Everything that Adam needed to sustain himself was all given to him right there in the garden. You've heard me say it before, but I'll say it again. He is living in a perfect world. That's what it is, man. There's no sin, there's no fault, there's no failure, there's no thorns, there's no thistles, there's no sweat of his brow, there's no working besides taking care of the animals. Why? Because it was perfect, and that's the way God formed the world. That's the way God formed man. God's purpose of man, and you've heard me say this, but God's purpose of man was to have fellowship with him. And God walked with Adam in the cool of the day. He fellowshipped with him, and there is the forming of humanity. But right here's why I want to talk to you for just a few minutes tonight on the fibbing to humanity. The fibbing to humanity. In chapter number 3, you that knows the Word of God, and I know I normally read a text, and but these are, I just feel that with the people that's here tonight, you know Genesis chapter number 3. There's no need in reading every one of these verses. You know the story here. Adam and Eve is in the garden. They're in this perfect place. The Bible closes out in chapter number 2, and they were both naked before the man and the woman, or in his wife, and were not ashamed. Man, God had blessed them. They was living in a perfect world. But then chapter 3 takes place. In chapter 3 takes place, we get the first glimpse of humanity's greatest enemy, if I can say it that way. We get the first glance of Satan right here being used, excuse me, by this serpent. This serpent allows Satan to use him. Can I say this to you today? Satan's still looking for somebody to use. Can I just say that? A lot of times we talk about, boy, God's looking for somebody to use, and God is looking for somebody. Well, I'll tell you something, Satan's looking for somebody to use too. And if you're not careful, you'll lend yourself to Satan and allow Satan to use you instead of God. And that's what happens right here. Now, there's this conversation that takes place between Eve and this serpent. Excuse me, Eve and this serpent. Here's one thing that I've thought about over the past 2 or 3 weeks, and I've studied and I've read and I've read and I've read. How much time elapsed here between chapter 2 and chapter 3? How much time went by after Eve is created that the serpent talks to her right here? And we do know he talks to her. We see that. I said this morning teaching Sunday school, and I'll say it again. I do not believe this is the first conversation Satan has with Eve. Now, I don't believe it's the first recorded. I don't believe it's the first one. You say, why? Why is Eve not startled by a serpent talking to her? Why did she just automatically in this record right here begin having a conversation with the serpent? Because I believe that the serpent had begun little by little by little to sow doubt in her mind. And can I say something to you? That's the way Satan is today. A lot of times we have this picture in our mind tonight of Satan, and Satan is this big red being, and he's got big old horns in his head, and he's got a pitchfork, and he's running around. Man, that's not the way Satan is today. Study the Word of God. Matter of fact, whenever you study, I don't like the devil, and I don't like snakes. Somebody say amen. I'm going to tell you something. Whenever you study a serpent, whenever you study a snake today, every move of it is gracious. You ever noticed it? It's nothing quick and jerking. It's very gracious. It's very clever in the way that it moves. And you know what I thought about this? And I don't know that there is a pretty snake, but you ever notice sometimes the way some of them are colored up? And the way that it's very interesting. Brother Robert knows a lot about snakes. As a matter of fact, watch the video of that great big rattlesnake he just caught the other day. But have you ever noticed sometimes how they can blend in and camouflage themselves in with everything else? And you think, man, you don't even see them till you're right up on top of them, or quite possibly they even strike at you. I remember I got bit several years ago. And I never even saw the snake until after it bit me. After it bit me on my calf, I turned around when I felt it. I turned around and seen it slither off. Why? Because they're so gracious and they can camouflage themselves in with everything else and make themselves look like everything else. And if we're not careful, there'll be people that slip in our church and they'll camouflage themselves. Matter of fact, the Bible said it this way, they're wolves in sheep's clothing. This serpent right here, the fibbing to humanity. The Bible said this about him, said he was subtle. You study that word subtle out right there, it means thin, not dense or gross. It means nice, it means fine, it means delicate. It means sly or artful, it means cunning. It means deceitful. That's the way Satan is today, church. Sometimes we think that, I wish you'd help me a little bit tonight because it's pretty tight because I'm preaching on the devil. I'm going to tell you, though, sometimes we think that we have arrived at a point where we'll never fail and we'll never mess up and our home will never end in divorce court and we'll never be that tragedy in the Christian walk. You hear me and you hear me well. Satan's taken down bigger and better than you and than me. David was a man after God's own heart, and David fell a prey to Satan's trickery. We better be aware of who Satan is tonight and what Satan wants to do. He's subtle tonight. I thought about this. None of you sitting here has ever lived in heaven. You say, well, I have. Well, tell me the story afterwards. None of us ever lived in heaven. None of us has ever lived in the garden in Genesis chapter 1, chapter number 2. And if Satan was good enough to pull them out of heaven, those other angels out of heaven to follow him, and if Satan was good enough to pull them out of the garden to follow him, you hear me and you hear me well. We are no match for Satan tonight. My home is no match for Satan tonight. Our church is no match for Satan tonight. And we better understand some of the tactics that he uses to destroy us. I thought about this. His plan of attack in the Garden of Eden was based on subtlety. Let me read you some things. It was God's intention that headship should be invested in Adam. Eve was created second, not first. I don't mean that she's second class. Just stay with me. She was not made for headship. Her inmost center of rule was not her head, but her heart. Adam, on the other hand, was made to rule. His inmost center of rule was his intellect. Satan twisted God's order. He began the temptation with Eve, putting her in the place of headship, engaging her in an intellectual discussion concerning right and wrong. He thoroughly deceived her and plunged the whole human race into ruin. Where did he start at? He started with a weaker vessel. That's where it don't mean, you women, all right, say amen tonight. Don't mean you're second class. It just means that's the way God set this thing up. And that's who he attacked. Can I just pose a question to you? Can I just pose a question? I'm watching the time, I promise you. But can I just pose a question to you? Did God tell Eve not to take of that tree? Don't answer that out loud. Think about what your Bible said. No, God told Adam. God told Adam. You know what? It was Adam's responsibility. You men listening to me tonight, now, ladies, it's your turn to say amen, okay? It was Adam's responsibility to tell his wife. I'm not saying Adam didn't tell his wife, but I'm saying this. God set the headship up, and he told Adam not to take of that tree. And then it was up to Adam to talk to her about it. Do you think Adam did? Yes, sir, I think Adam did. Here's the reason why. Eve repeated back to the serpent some of the things that someone had told her. And it had to be Adam. I mean, who do you think it was? Sister Gertrude down the street? There wasn't no Gertrudes at the time, okay? I believe Adam told her, but Satan went after the weaker vessel. Think about this with me. Satan opened the discussion with one simple thing. Doubt. Doubt. He opens the hole that you say, preacher, man, I wanted it. We've shouted for two Sunday mornings. Stay with me. He opened it with doubt. Yea, hath God said. Can I preach to you young people for just a second tonight? Those foundations that your mom and daddy has established in your heart from the Word of God, when Satan comes up and he says something like this, should you really, do you really have to dress like that? Do you really have to just listen to that kind of music? Do you really have, everybody hearing the preacher tonight, do you really have to do this? Let me tell you what it is tonight. It is Satan using the same trick that he's always used. He's sowing doubt about the Word of God. He's sowing doubt about the Word of God. Watch this. He challenged the authorship. Yea, hath God said. Did God really say this? Hear me and hear me well tonight. What God says is the authorship. It is the final authority today. He doubted and he sowed doubt of authorship, of authority, of accuracy, of acceptability. And because of that, now all of a sudden, the human race is in a mess. And where did it all start at? It all started in a perfect environment by somebody listening to Satan. By somebody listening to Satan. And what did Satan do? The fibbing of humanity? Here's what he did. Here's what he did. He sowed doubt. He sowed doubt. That's what he'll do in your life tonight. That, boy, it's quiet tonight. It's what he'll do in your life tonight. You know, preacher, you're just dogmatic about some things. Are we really just going to stay with the King James Bible? Yes, we're really going to stay with the King James Bible. Why? Because I can take the Word of God and prove it right. Are you in it? Preacher, are we really just going to do this? Or really just going to do this? Let me tell you what Satan's doing. Satan is dabbling around in your mind and causing you to doubt. That's what he did right from the very beginning. Let me show you one more thing. Let me show you one more thing and we'll go on. I see the forming of humanity. I see the fibbing to humanity. But then I want you to see this number three. And I'm not going to end this on a low note, but at the same time, I think it's very important to see this. I see the fall of humanity. I see the fall of humanity. You see, it always starts simple. Can I just say it this way? Somewhere in Surrey County tonight, matter of fact, you probably don't have to go far from here. I can probably take you to some homes that's not, I mean, just about within rock throwing distance of here. That somebody in it right now, Brother Randy's messed up. And what I mean by that, they're high on drugs. They're drunk out of their mind. They're messed up, man. Sin has overtaken their life. And you know what? If we was to sit down with those individuals and say, hey, tell me about the day that you woke up and decided you was going to become a dope head. Tell me about the day that you woke up and decided that you was going to become an alcoholic. Tell me about the day that you woke up and said, you know what I want to do with the rest of my life? I just want to be an alcoholic. You said, preacher, it's just a disease. You're right. It started in Genesis chapter number 3, and the disease is called sin today. Let me take it a step further. It's going to get real quiet right here. Tell me about the day that you just woke up and said, you know what? I've never thought about this before, but today I'm going to decide to identify as a woman, or I'm going to decide to identify as a man, or I'm going to decide to identify as a cat, or I'm going to decide to identify as a dog, or I'm going to decide, I'm going to start identifying as a goat. I'm just going to butt everybody I come in contact with. No, but you want me to tell you what happened? Somebody woke up one morning and said, you know what, I think I'm going to go see what alcohol tastes like. And the devil said, if you'll just take a little sip. He said, preacher, it's Sunday night. It's the core of the church. Just let me preach. If you'll just take a little sip, it won't bother you. If you'll just get a little bit, if you'll just, it's probably going to get quiet again. If you'll just get a little bit of that joint, but see, here's the problem with that. Sooner or later, that little bit ain't going to be enough. Here's the biggest problem with it. It's wrong, okay? Let me just clarify that. But that little bit is not going to be enough. You know what's going to happen? You're going to have a little bit more. And you're going to have a little bit more. And you're going to have a little bit more. You're going to have a little bit more. Why? Because Satan said all you needed was just a little bit. A little bit will never hurt you. A little bit will never bother you. You know what? There's some man today that his marriage is in a mess because Satan said it won't hurt to look at that lady and tell her she looks nice today. Nobody else will ever know. Somewhere, some wife's home is in a mess. Because she decided to talk to the boss man the wrong way, and Satan said, do it one time. But boy, here they are today, and their life's in a mess. Their children is pulled back and forth. Why? Because Satan. Because Satan said, just a little bit won't hurt. Let me tell you the reason. Oh, it's going to get real quiet. It's already quiet. Let me tell you the reason God said it's good for man not to touch a woman. Because in Genesis chapter number 2, he made man and woman in a perfect world. And he said, I'm just going to give you the Bible, they was naked before each other and was not ashamed. God made them that way and made that relationship to be enjoyed in marriage. And the feelings that you have inside of you as you get older and older as a young person is made by God. And God designed it that way. And God said, if you're going to get quiet on me here, go home and take your TV out of your house, okay? And God said, I'm going to make marriage for this. That way, you can be with each other in the realm of marriage. And why did he say it's good for man and woman not to touch each other? Here's the reason why. The day will come when that little hug is not enough, and that little hand-holding is not enough, and that little kiss on the cheek is not enough, and that little kiss on the lips is not enough. And before you know it, something you said you'd never give up before marriage is gone now. Why? Because Satan fibbed to you and told you a little bit wouldn't hurt. Because of that, now we have the fall of humanity. Here's the way it went. I'll give this to you and we'll go home. Here's the way it went. Chapter 3, are you with me? Look at verse 6. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat and gave, it always hurt somebody besides you. It always hurt somebody besides you. And gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. Here's the downward path. Here's the way it starts. Are you with me? I'm going to show it all to you right here out of verse number 6. And we'll go home. Here's the way it starts. She saw. Preacher, does it hurt what I look at? It really doesn't matter what you look at. Because once you see it, it can never be unseen again. Once you see it, Miss Vicki, how many things from a bad call is lodged in your mind after, I mean, she retired young. She retired at 30. But after all those years as a paramedic in our county, how many things is lodged in your mind because you saw it? Brother Aaron, how many times have we sat and talked after we've been on a call together about what we saw and how we wish we could get that out of our mind? Let me tell you where it all started at. It started at her just looking at something. Can I ask you a question tonight? Why are you looking at what you're looking at? Why are you looking at what you're looking at? You say, well, I'm looking at you because you're the preacher, and if you'll hush, I'll go home and eat eggs and French fries. No, you understand what I'm saying. Why are you glancing in the direction that you're glancing in? Why are you starting to gaze at what you're gazing at? She saw is where it all started at. Here's was the whole aim of Satan. If you want to write anything down, here it is. She saw to turn look into lust. To turn look into lust. Watch this. She took. She saw. What does your Bible say? Then she took. There will come a day if you keep looking, that looking won't be good enough. Boy, I don't know who I'm preaching to tonight. But there will come a day when looking is not good enough. Over 18 years of pastoring, and somebody asked me one time how many I pastored not long ago, and I said, well, probably about 600, 650. And they said, Well, I didn't know your church had grown that much. I said, you didn't ask me how many comes to church. I said, you asked me how many I pastored. And they said, well, what do you mean by that? And I said, well, man, over the past 18 years, Brother Ramsey, the Lord's just given me favor with some people in our county, and I'm who they come to a lot of times. We've got 11 preachers out of the church, and I was on the phone just before I come up here tonight with one of them about some issues at his church, and I just say, man, I pastor a lot of people sometimes, so when I say what I'm fixing to say, don't try to figure out if it was somebody in our church. It probably wouldn't, okay? I've sat down with men and their homes began going down the drain. I've asked this question, where did it start at? And here's what they said. Pornography. It started at looking at. Is everybody okay tonight? Say, man, I wish Ben was singing. Well, he's not. John's preaching, okay? I said it started with pornography. Let me tell you what happened. They started looking. They started looking. And if you keep looking, it won't be long. You'll go to taking. Because your look will turn into lust. She saw, she took, and then when that comes, it turns the desire into a decision. I said this teaching Sunday school, and Brother Ben said it yesterday. We blame a lot of stuff on the devil. That the devil has absolutely nothing to do with. Somebody say amen. We blame a lot of stuff on him. and he didn't have one thing to do with it. He used this illustration. He said, if you got up and started a church this morning and run out of gas on the way to church, don't say, boy, the devil sure did fight me today and I run out of gas on the way to church. No, the devil didn't have one thing to do with that. You was too lazy to go get gas last night or stop on your way to church, okay? That wasn't nothing to do with the devil. Are you with me? The devil can't make you do nothing. The devil couldn't make Eve take of this. Eve's desire came down to a decision. What is she going to do with it? Young people, you're fixing to go back to school, some of you even this week. And you know what? We've had a great summer. Yesterday, we had a great time visiting. I don't get to do that with the kids much anymore. Usually, Brother Elijah and Miss Maddie does, and they wasn't able to yesterday, and I told them, I said, don't worry about it. Don't cancel it. I'll take the kids. Man, we had a great day. We met some interesting people on yesterday. Bob was one of the most interesting people I've ever met in my life. And Bob, he's a great guy, isn't he, Jordan? And she said, no, he's not. Let's don't get Jordan started on Bob. Bob's Jordan's imaginary friend that she didn't know that she had, and she was talking about the bathtub, and I got Bob out of bathtub, and man, we had a time for 3 hours about Bob. And Caleb uses a can opener to get into the lake, but I don't know. We had such a good time. We've had the youth revival. We've had VBS. I'm about done. Come up here. Just come on and play something. They'll have hope. We've had youth revival. VBS, we've had youth camp and youth revival. We got the back to school meeting. It's been good. But I'm going to tell you something. You're fixing to go back into a public school setting, a lot of you. And those decisions that you've made to serve the Lord, mama's not going to be right there beside of you, and the preacher's not going to be right there beside of you, and girls, Miss Maddie's and Miss Leslie's not going to be right there, and Brother Elijah's not going to be right there. You're going to see some things. Then you're going to have to make a decision. Am I going to take of this? Don't come crying to me. Let me back up and rephrase that. Come crying to me when you mess up. Because I promise you, I'm still going to love you. And we're going to get through it together. But at the same time, don't come crying to me because you're the one who made the decision to do what you did. We've got a problem today in society. We don't want to accept personal responsibility. She saw, the look was turned into lust. She took, the desire was turned into a decision. She did eat. The choice was turned into a chain. She started eating it. Watch this. She gave. Now, the sinner is turned into a seducer. Did you catch what I just said? The sinner is now turned into a seducer. She gave. You see, when you get messed up in sin, it won't be good enough for you to be there by yourself. You'll give it to somebody else to try to get them there with you. I'm going to read you a verse. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 14. And Adam, verse 13, and Adam was first formed, then Eve. And Adam was not deceived, but the woman being deceived was in the transgression. That's interesting, isn't it? It said Adam wasn't deceived. Let me tell you the reason he wasn't deceived. He knew it was wrong. He knew it was wrong. And done it anyway. He knew it was wrong. And done it anyway. You know what's right and you know what's wrong. Why did Adam do it anyway? Boy, we could preach 2 or 3 hours there on speculation. Whether he took of it or whether he didn't take of it, I believe man would have still failed because they was one. His husband and wife, they was one. And you know what, I find it very interesting that throughout the Bible it's not known as the fall of woman, it's known as the fall of man. As a matter of fact, in Romans it says, whereby one man... Wherefore, it's by one man sin entered into the world and death by sin. It all comes back on headship. I'll ask you a question tonight. I thought about this. I got the friend of humanity, his searching, his scourging, his substitute, but I'm not going to preach that. I thought about this today. We're going home, okay? We're going home. You know what? If I quit 20 minutes ago, some of y'all would still be standing here talking, okay? The past couple weeks, the past month, really, man, it's been a good little wave of the Lord helping us. It really has. I'm talking about Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. Some of the Wednesday night services, man, God's just kind of settled in them. And I just want to say something right here. That teaching Wednesday night had more substance to it than a lot of preachers that I listen to Wednesday night. And I kindly find it interesting that God put this right behind it. You that was here Wednesday night understands what I'm saying. God put this right behind it. Let it be established in the mouth of two or three witnesses. Just the Bible proving itself true that Brother Aaron was following the Lord and I'm trying to follow the Lord and the Lord's uniting it together. But watch this. That good little move. Thank God for it. Not every church is seeing it. Let me tell you something. With that, you better get ready. You better get ready. So preach, what do you mean by that? You mean, boy, God's fixing to blow the top off us? Well, he may be, but I'm going to tell you what else is fixing to happen. All of hell's fixing to come after us. Because when God's blessing, I promise you the devil's going to be messing. Don't allow him in his cunning, subtle way to sow doubt in your mind about the Word of God, the worship of God, about what's happening at Amazing Grace. Young people, don't allow him, when you go back to school, to absolutely destroy what God has done in your heart over the past few months.